Episode 359, April 30th, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Firehall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Starting to finally feel like spring. It's we're in May now. The weather's turned. Can we say that, or is that jinxing things, Joe?
No, I looked at the week to come, and it's only going to get warmer. And I've always said my favorite month of the year is April, because I know it's going to be warm for the next 6 months.
Okay, but it's not warm in April. I mean, April's not a good weather month.
I like the beginning. I like to know this is what's coming. You follow what I'm saying? Maybe May, but the very end of April, it's worth it.
April's, I love it being cool in the evening and hot in the day.
That's a great combination. So California, basically, is what you're describing.
Or Dale City, Virginia.
Yes. Well, May's a great sports month. April's the best sports month.
Yeah, but the problem is all my teams suck. So that now the Caps have really turned it around and kind of saved me a little bit.
Well, the Caps are always good in April. It's just when we get into May where we run into problems.
Well, I was bitching because they lost the first two games of their series with the Blue Jackets in overtime. And I'm like, well, they're definitely going to lose this. Now, they end up not. So that chain turned things around. But all my teams suck except for the Caps.
How are the Caps doing against the Penguins?
1-1.
Okay.
Well, by the time we listen to this, it'll be 2-1 somebody. By the time this airs, we're doing live Monday night. They play Tuesday. But welcome to the show, Rob. Joe, Robbie Robinson. So the other day, shout out to Sarah Fraser. Hey, Fraser, had a great time on her podcast. Check it out. But I was in the, the CVS right next to the beautiful podcast village there in Wisconsin Avenue.
Where we used to park, but now we're afraid they're going to tow us.
Yes.
Right.
By the way, I realized that where we park now, you still pay. I just didn't know that. We go up to there's a counter, like an outdoor thing, and you just pay the guy.
And we're supposed to.
Yes.
But we never do.
Well, I did this time, maybe because we get there earlier for Mike O'Mara's show, because I got there at like noon. So maybe during the day we're paying. But anyway, so I'm in CVS, and there's an incredibly smoking hot girl, yoga pants. But hanging off the back of her pants, it's like, you know, like a ribbon that would have been tying like a present. And then maybe there's still tape on it. It's like it's taped to like right to the back of her ass. Like, okay. It's stuck.
And you're wondering, can I say something?
Exactly.
Because she'll know I'm staring at her ass, and if not, I'm just letting her walk around.
Now, the reality is the only reason I want to say something is so we can sort of have a conversation about her ass.
But you can also say, look, I'm sorry that I noticed this. You just happen to be standing right in front of me, but you have something on the back of you.
Yeah, I thought about that, and that seemed like a weird... I'm not sorry. So why would I be sorry for looking at her ass?
Well, you're just being a gentleman.
But it seemed like almost creepy. Because, come on, I'm looking... First of all, anyone would see it. It's hanging off. So.
I understand it. Much creepier is, you know, I was staring at your ass and I noticed that there's trash hanging off of it.
That would be creepier. But I mean, what is my intention in this? It's to have a sort of creepy moment where we can talk about our ass, but I can feel not creepy about it.
I wouldn't feel creepy if you asked to remove it.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I get it off of there for you and you take like 5 minutes?
So would you have said something?
Yeah, probably.
All right, so how do you say it?
I'd be like, hey, I don't want this to be weird, but you have something on the back of you. I'm not staring, I just happen to be standing behind you, but you have a ribbon on the back of you.
Yeah, you're right. And what if she goes, oh, thanks for checking out my ass?
I bet you're welcome.
Well, next time that happens, I'm saying something.
How would Grams handle that?
Oh, my God. He'd be banging her right now.
Hey, can you move that ribbon out of my way? Trying to check out your hole.
You need some life insurance?
Hey, didn't your daughter show me her tits?
Now, do you tell people? Like, are you the guy that tells, like, your friend that there's something in his teeth or there's a booger, or do you not say anything?
And there, you know what? I'm always like, will it embarrass this person? And if it will, I don't. So if I see a booger, I never say a word. Never.
Right.
I mean, if you have something, I might say, be like, dude, you check your nose or whatever. But there's a lot of friends that I would. But if there's a girl, I'm not going to do it. Now, Katie, I would. I'd be like, hey, you sure. check your nose. But like Tawanda, she could walk around with just something hanging out. I would never say a word.
Not going to say anything.
I would never say a word.
Well, when we were in overseas for the tour, with the Tom and Eric and Patrick, I believe we were in Kuwait at this point. But one of the bases, our tour guide, this guy, he had like a booger in his nose the whole time, and we never said anything. We took 100 pictures of this guy. We never said a damn thing.
And you blew it up.
We did do that later. It was a running joke. I think we gave it a name or something. Yeah, we have fun. Speaking of Tawanda, the other day she's at the doctor getting something done. I don't know. And the doctor says, you know what? I need to ask somebody else what they think of this x-ray or whatever the thing is. And in comes this woman, and she goes, hey, I'm Joe Robinson's sister.
Oh, Robin.
Yes.
She did whatever procedure was being done was done by my sister.
She was the expert brought in to clarify what he was looking at in this photograph.
She's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they brought in the head of the department.
Oh, she's a big deal. And I guess she recognized the name Tawanda, and she probably met at some point.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe mystery or something.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But Tawanda's quote, she was super cool and funny, and she's much better looking than Joe and Robbie.
Yeah, well, we're not there. You know the deal. She's not my blood sister.
Well, that explains a lot.
So that's why, you know, she's
actually, I don't know the deal. That's how bad of a friend I am.
She is a blood relative.
You do know her. My mother is the sister of the woman my father is currently married to.
Yes.
My mother, God rest her soul, she passed away. He then married her sister who was in the middle of divorcing another person, and she already had two daughters who were my cousins. So my cousins are also my stepsisters, correct?
It's very complicated.
It's all very normal.
Yes. But I think the key here is that she's much better looking than you two.
By the way, I've never heard the scenario that I grew up in. I've never heard of it anywhere else.
No, because it's probably, it has to have existed at some point, but it's very rare.
It's got to be, you think it's one in a million?
Do you, yeah, I do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Now that means there's 60, there, how many, there's 600 million people in the United States, right? Or is there 500 million?
I think there's less than that.
Okay.
There's like 300 million.
Let's say 400 just to make this okay. Work. So that means that there are 40 other situations like this. I feel like there's more. So it can't be one in a million.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's pretty rare. I've never met anybody like this, and I've met a lot of people, maybe not a million.
Were you hesitant to tell people that story?
Well, the joke's always the same. You're like, oh, what are you, from West Virginia? And by the way, my father is from West Virginia. But meanwhile, it's, you know, it doesn't really make sense. I didn't marry my cousin.
Right.
You follow? My dad didn't marry his sister. But I just, you know, it's the same joke. It's almost like I used to sell shoes.
Uh-huh.
And everybody used to say, what are you, Ted Bundy?
Kenny Shoes.
And I've heard that joke literally, and I fake laugh every time.
Al Bundy.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. Ted Bundy's the killer.
Yes.
Right. So I don't even know the joke that they tell. Al Bundy, correct.
When you were dating women and then your wife and now Katie, I mean, at some point your family and the dynamic comes up. Was that something that you were hesitant to describe?
I never remember being hesitant. I always thought it was kind of a cool story, so it never bothered me to tell it.
What about you, Robbie?
No. Well, I don't know that I was in a position to be telling that story as a kid, but as an adult, I have no issue with it.
Okay. Well, I tell all of my girlfriends that story, and it's very weird.
You're never going to believe
it. I have these friends of mine. We do a podcast together. They're family. It's freaking weird. So please still be my friend. And I've lost some over that. Another comedy kumite attempt for me coming up this week, Joe.
Who else is in it?
Well, I'm going against Frankie French, one of our murder mystery fellow alum.
Oh, you're in the first round?
Yeah, in the first round. Just one show this time. So I have a huge disadvantage. White male versus black female.
Yeah, you're not. People have to feel like they have to.
In DuPont Circle, by the way, where the gays love black females.
Why show up? Seriously.
Like, what's the equivalent in terms of like a football game?
Well, I've told this story before, but my son used to swim.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was the worst swimmer. Now, I'm just stating what happened. Okay. You guys can fill in whatever your own narrative is. They go by heat. So the worst swimmers are in the first heat. And then it goes on to better swimmers. Well, my son was always in the first heat with two other kids. There was this black kid that he swam against. Mm-hmm. And there was this kid with CP.
Okay.
So what would happen is he'd swim and he'd win. And every time you won your heat, they give you a ribbon. But of course, the whole...
And then it ends up on some girl's ass in CVM.
The whole entire swimming pool is covered with people cheering. They don't cheer like this for any other, but of course they're cheering because the kid with CP is finishing... going from one of the pool to the other. So my son felt like he was this amazing swimmer. His room was decorated with ribbons.
He thinks he's Michael Phelps.
He thought he was the best swimmer that ever lived. I don't, what did you just say that made me think of that? I'm trying to even see how I got there.
I don't know, Robbie.
He was doing comedy kumite.
Oh, what's the equivalent?
Yes.
The equivalent is that, where nobody gives a shit that my son won the race. So whether or not you're funny or not, you have to overcome a few other things in order to win.
No. I think they're naturally, you're going to root. Like if you just had, like in Washington, D.C., if your two people were running for mayor and the candidates, all it said is black female or white male, it's going to be 92% black female is going to win, right?
Yes.
Yes. Now, that's not true everywhere, but this is where we're at. So. Mm-hmm. And by the way, everyone in this show is, everyone's hilarious for 5 minutes. So it's not like I can it's hard to distance yourself in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and obviously we think Frankie's funny enough to put it in a murder mystery. This is not Frankie. Frankie could be funnier than you for 5 minutes. That could happen.
Of course.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. You're not going
to
win.
Well, I have to be twice as funny.
I think more than that.
Do you think so?
I don't think you can win in the first round.
So... If I have an A set, she has to have a D.
She has to bomb.
She has to bomb. So if I crush and she bombs, I barely win.
Yes, but she can't bomb.
She's not going to bomb
because it's 5 minutes. She's never going to bomb. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
She's not going to bomb.
And it's the improv.
It's DuPont Underground. It's the improv is sponsoring it, but it's in DuPont Circle in this old underground. Like subway or something. I don't know what's happening, but it's I've never been in this venue, so
you're basically wasting your night, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's an excuse to get out of the house, I guess. But wish me luck, folks.
Yeah, Captain Cupcake agrees that you're wasting your time.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you know, it's fun. I'm not going there to win. But the thing is, if I do win, if I survive that first round, I'm gonna be like, well, at this point, I don't even care. I'll feel like a winner.
You'll leave.
Yeah, I'll just leave. You know what? I've done what I came here.
Throw down the mic.
To do. So, shout out to Mac Bergson's son. You know, his son's in the, I guess it's the Cub Scouts, I guess, at that age.
Yeah, if he's doing the Pinewood Derby, because Robbie did the Pinewood Derby. I remember, Robbie, when you did the Pinewood Derby, there was like a controversy. Am I right?
Yes, there was.
What was it? Tell me about the...
You cheated?
Yeah. No, this is like a 40-year-old story, right?
Yes.
What happened?
It was my first year doing the Pinewood Derby, and the kits were different back then. They were made a little bit differently. They were a little bit more solidly built, but Dad had whittled me this really, really good car. It went really fast.
Now, hold on. As you can see, Robbie had nothing to do with the car he was supposed to build, right?
No, I helped decorate it, but I didn't really. He did all the cutting of it.
Right. That's what all the dads are doing, though. That's how this works.
Yeah, pretty much. So he'd really engineered a pretty damn good car, and we put the weights in the bottom so it would be, because you can't be overweight, and you don't want to be underweight, obviously. You want to be right at the correct weight. So it was perfect, and I went through the semifinals. I went to the final heat. I was one of the last two cars, and I'm a little kid. And then there was this older Weeblow. You know, that's before.
Oh, between, those son of a bitches!
Between Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts is the Weeblows, and this older kid who was like a teenager. We ran, I think it was three or four races. Dead heat, dead heat, dead heat. Dead
wow!
Heat. And finally, somebody just called it for the older kid. And my dad was fucking pissed.
Let's get him on the show. Can you do that?
Now, real quick, I got a shit ton to talk about today. Now we're going to talk about Pinewood Derby all day. But I want to tell a real quick Pinewood Derby story.
Yeah.
My son was in the Cub Scouts, and I have no ability to help him in any way. So somebody carved out the car. Oh, my dad did. He carved out the car, and he said, James has to sand it. Of course, he didn't do it at all. So I show up with a piece of wood that's barely shaped like a car. The wheels have to be in alignment, mm-hmm. and mine weren't. So some guy fixes it, and then I had no weights on it. Somebody gave me some weights, and we won like two of our heats.
That's impressive.
I didn't do anything. Anyway, but clearly our car was the shittiest. One kid had a popcorn machine as his car. The other one was a lawnmower. Mine was a fucking block of wood, right? So everybody gets an award. I don't remember what it was, but I think it was like Ralphie in The Simpsons, where James won the award for the only kid whose dad clearly didn't build his fucking car. Well, by the way, one of the dads that won, he worked for NASA.
Well, like your situation, you being the dad that couldn't help make the car, that was my dad, and he had some friend of his help make it, and he didn't really care. And my car, it looked like, you know, it was belonged to the junkyard.
And it looked like the Sanford Sun truck.
Right, except your car looked like crap, but it won. My car looked like crap, and it was dead last.
Yes, so. You were ridiculed by
exactly,
the other.
Exactly, definitely ridiculed, people laughing, pointing at me. It was the worst car of all time. It looked like the worst. It ran the worst. It checked every box for being the worst car ever. But Mac Bergson's kid is killing it. So, you know, like NASCAR, where they sponsor cars, I think, Mac, if you would allow us to sponsor your son's car.
You think it should say RobinJoeShow.com on it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, Robbie, you know, you're all about how to, you know, make things look and pop and jump off the screen, and in this case, a car. Well, what do you think is the best way to do this?
I would like to see pictures of the car, but I will basically, I'll send him any stickers he wants.
Any stickers?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, we want like Robin Joe Show logo or something.
But also, let's also have a five-plated clothing.
I agree.
Sticker on there.
No.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, Robin Joe. He'll want it. Believe me, Mac will want it. He'll want.
I don't want anything taken away from our.
What do you mean taken away? Five-plated clothing.
I want to be like the M&M car. I want to be all Robin Joe Show. On
Man.
No, it's a NASCAR car. They have all kinds of things.
Yes, we're
going to
vote. We're going to vote. I say five-plated clothing goes on there.
I say a picture of Michael Chamberlain.
Yeah, MichaelChamberlainMagic.com, five-plated clothing, Robin Joe Show. There's your sponsors.
Yeah. And one of my headshots. So just paint that on there. How do you think Mac's kid will react to this? I mean, the car is on our hot streak now. The last thing you want to do is change anything.
I think Mac is just going to have to. By the way, Mac built the car, so Mac gets to say what happens to it. It's not like the kid was involved.
Yeah, but Mac's got to live with his kid. What if the car starts losing? I mean, are we going to
cooler it?
He's going to get divorced because of this. He'll have to pick between the wife, the car, the kid, and the show.
I think he'll be loyal to the show. Robbie, send him the stickers, please. Thanks. Make sure If you only send him one, make sure it's a five-plated clothing one.
Or I can hand him the stickers when I see Mac in 2 weeks at the Tampa Improv.
I will defer to Mac. Mac, I am proposing that I send you all Rob and Joe Show stuff to go on that car, but you tell me what you want.
Yeah, we'll do it. The ball's in your court, Mac. So I watched this show on Netflix. Have you seen Fastest Car? Have you seen the promo for this, the commercial?
No.
So it's basically seven episodes, and in each episode, four different people drag race, and then the winner goes into the finals, and then all six race in the final. And by the way, they win nothing. So it's a
just pride or getting exactly. to be on this television show.
So I'm not like really into this world or know much about it, but it was interesting because they have on every show they'd have what they'd call a supercar, like a Lamborghini or Ferrari. And then they'd have basically what's called a sleeper car. And that's a car that looks like a piece of shit, but underneath the hood it has all this crazy right. stuff in it. So you think this is a nothing piece of junk, and then it's got nitrous and all this crazy stuff in it. So if you're going to watch this, I'm about to spoil everything. But
no, you're good. You're safe.
So I'm talking about the audience, not you, Joe. So it is entertaining, but this is the... They do the backstory with everybody, like because of any reality show, and this is how much cars means to me, and it saved my life, and this is a tribute to my buddy who died, and so there's always that typical shit. But the guy in the one episode, the first episode, he has a Lamborghini. It's not his car. He's just some kid who fell into taking photographs for these rich guys with these sheiks with cars.
Right.
So he travels all around the world, takes photographs of these nice cars. They let him borrow this car. All these other guys are like, this is my life, cars, and I built this with my hands. And
this is borrowed from some guy he knows.
Exactly. And because they show up for the race, and he's like, yeah, I went on YouTube. I'd never really done drag racing, and I didn't know how to do the launch control. And they're all like, this guy's a pussy. He can't take us. Meanwhile, launch control means you're not shifting. It just, you hit this button, the yeah. computer does everything for you. All you're literally doing is turning the car on, and then hitting the gas
and trying not to drive into something else.
Exactly. So they have all this buildup. He destroys them. It's not even close, right?
Are they furious?
Well, they're like, they're all talking shit, and then it's not even close. How could it be close? You have a Pinto. He's got a freaking Lamborghini. Then they go to the finals. Everyone in the finals, even the other woman with the supercar that had a Ferrari, was an actual female race driver that has experience. This guy, the least amount of experience, the least interesting story, he dominates that too.
So. Yeah, because you're just going straight, right?
You're just going straight for a quarter mile.
I will say, and then I want to talk about a drag race of my own that I saw. But
good segue.
That's the thing I hate about Chopped. There's some storyline, I'm doing this for my dead mom or something.
Right.
And then every time they talk to him, my mom, you say, and then, I want to make sure I expose my Jamaican flair. Jamaica. And they just keep wedging in this stupid narrative. Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares about your backstory. They don't. Nobody cares. I understand that they're trying to create some interest in the people that are cooking, but really it's already working. I don't need you to keep shoving in my face whatever it is you've decided was the purpose for them to be on the show or try to win.
The interest is that you have to make steak. Peanut butter, coconut, and cauliflower in one meal. That's right.
I do like to know what their culinary expertise is a little
well,
bit.
Well, that's not a bad thing. That's just different. A bio.
I do fast forward through a lot of that crap.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about Joe's drag race. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show. From the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, May 4th at Amp by Strathmore. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
So there's a reality show about drag queens called Drag Race. Now, you didn't, you were at some sort of drag.
Yeah, I was at a, I'd never been to, have you? Have you been to a drag show before?
I have not.
Have you, Robbie?
No.
Okay, so let me just preface this by saying the night before I went to Anthem for the first time and I saw Beck, and that was amazing.
Is it a cool venue, by the way?
It's an awesome venue. Awesome. Yeah, it's badass. So I go that, and then I'm on 98 Rock the next morning. So I get home at 12:30. I got to wake up at 4:15. I then am out all day. I then have to go that night to go to the drag show. So basically, I've slept 3 hours and 45 minutes in the last 42 hours, or basically. So I'm like, this isn't going to be great, right? Dude, I'm telling you, I had the best. It's almost embarrassing what a great time I had. Now, first of all, I'm there, and I was calling myself the narc. Because literally, nobody could have looked less like they should have been somewhere. There is nobody that stood out like I did.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing a button-up shirt and jeans, and I had a jacket on that I had. Katie always makes fun of me because if I put something in my pocket, I zip it up so it doesn't fall out, which apparently is the oldest thing that you can do. So that's what I'm there wearing.
What is the average person wearing?
I mean, they have a mohawk. They have, you know, a gauge in their ears, and or they're, you know, they're a guy not wearing a shirt. They
right.
have a dog collar on. I mean, that's what everybody else
gotcha.
Is wearing, right? And I look like, hey guys, where are the drugs? I mean, that literally, I could not. But so the show starts, and dude, it is wild. So first of all, let me say this: Justin Schlegel, we talk about a lot. He's the star of our murder mystery. He is in his fucking element. I've never seen him more happy than at this. He couldn't be more comfortable somewhere than he is.
What is he wearing?
He's wearing, I mean, he still looks cooler than me.
Yes.
You know, he's wearing a, I don't remember, T-shirt. It's too small or whatever because
right.
he's in shape, whatever. But it doesn't matter. He looks fine. He looks completely reasonable. He's wearing that hat that he always wears, that ridiculous hat. So that's what he has on. And of course, he wants to meet the star. The star is this girl, what do you call them? I guess girl. I don't know how they want to identify themselves, but I want to be respectful. I just don't know what it is.
Let's go, girl.
Her name is Baby.
Has she been on the radio with them? Is that their connection at all?
No. The assistant producer is in this world.
Gotcha.
Okay? And so we went there with her and her girlfriend, and then me and Katie, and then Justin and his girlfriend. That's who's there. And Justin, he can't wait. Did I send you the picture of him and the drag queens?
I don't believe so.
Okay, I'm going to show it to you while we're talking, but he could not wait to meet the star, who's Baby. So he didn't know how to approach it, so he said, hey, can I get my picture taken with you? It's my birthday. So, of course, meanwhile, it's not his birthday, but what that means is they then sing happy birthday to him from the stage. Okay, and he's literally screaming. Well, there are tons of people there. Okay, so Baby is the better looking of the two. Do you see the one on this side?
Yes.
Okay, that's
yes.
Baby.
Justin looks very happy.
Now, yeah, Justin is literally, he couldn't be happier. So they get up there, and it's fucking wild. It's fun. The Baby is dancing to The Beautiful People. Okay?
So now, there's no lip syncing. They just dance?
They are lip syncing and
okay.
dancing. That's
okay.
exactly what they're doing. Now, the thing about it is, you get lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. Now, go back to Justin. The only thing that's missing from Justin is he's not attracted to men. Other
yeah.
than that, he'd be in.
He has it in him. Yeah.
It'd be his favorite thing to ever do would be to do what he did. He's just missing one small element of this just being a wonderful lifestyle.
I smell a murder mystery concept here.
A drag queen?
Yeah.
Oh, he'd love it. We'd hire all these. But these guys, these people who do the drag, they're, you know, I mean, these guys.
We can't afford them.
They're out of no way. They may.
Yeah.
There's people are throwing money up at them
yeah.
or whatever. But what happens is Baby is actually hot. She's good looking. So you get kind of lost in it.
Yeah. Getting a little turned on.
I'm not getting turned on, but they're attractive. So
sure.
I'm enjoying it. It doesn't matter if I'm attracted to them or not, but that's the idea. They're all done up or whatever. But then they expose their chest, and then you realize, oh, well, this is not, I'm not attracted to men.
Right.
And now, so baby stood over there. Her legs are hot. Mm-hmm. Her face is beautiful or whatever, but then she had her leather outfit open up where I could see a chest that looked, I mean, I have much bigger tits than yeah, right. Well, it's not hairy. Oh, no, they're in a hair on their body, right? but it's then you realize clearly, all right, well, this is not the sex in which I am attracted to.
Right.
But we saw them, and the names were hilarious. There was one, her name was Betty O'Hellno. That was her name. There was this
Betty O'Hellno.
There was one, this crazy dude, his name was Section 8. He had a mask on, and when people were giving him her bills, and again, I don't know how they identify, but she was then staple gunning him to her face.
What do you think Gramps would do in this situation?
Gramps would be disgusted by this. He's not in this place. There was this one. I sent you a picture of this gigantic black woman, and her name was Washington Heights.
Well, that's his wheelhouse. What are you talking about? This is he'd feel yeah, right yeah. at home.
But yeah, no, my father, matter of fact, there's currently, and I'm not sure what the exact term is. Maybe Amy Michelle Berger could help us with that. But there is a male, or I guess.
Well, it's the Gramps story of the week. I'm going to talk about that.
Well, this is a different one. This is on American Idol. Somebody who dresses up like a woman's clearly a man, and it's his least favorite American Idol of all time. He's not comfortable enough. He's from a different place and time.
He's 75 years old. Yeah, I think they're having a Prince week, which means I'm going to have to watch, which I'm upset
ugh.
About.
Ugh.
Yeah. So how long is this show typically? Is it a 2-hour show?
So we stayed there. We got there too early. That was our mistake. Mm-hmm. We stayed there for about 6 or 7 of them. And I think we got to the intermission, and then we said, and it was midnight, so it was time to leave anyway. I mean, I had been up for forever. And that was probably about good for me. Now, Justin, he was still there when I left. It's the only thing Justin kept doing, which is so odd. It's me and Katie and Justin, his girlfriend. Justin would be like, hey, I'll be back. And he'd disappear. I don't know where he's going, right?
Interesting.
But yeah, he would be gone. He'd be gone for a little while. And I will also say this, and I'm not going to mention any names, but and then I know we have a Gramps story. There was somebody who was clearly not enjoying themselves, I felt like, that was there, okay? But then I noticed when it came time to taking pictures, they wanted to appear as if they were having a good time. And that's this social media, what we've become now, where what we really want to do is show people the things that we want to chronicle the things that we do through these photos.
Right.
But meanwhile, I don't even really know if people are enjoying themselves now because it looks like they just want the photo at these events.
People want to document the event rather than enjoy the event.
Well, they weren't enjoying it.
Right. It's more important to document enjoying the event than actually enjoy the
right,
event.
Right.
I know somebody who took a whole Hall & Oates concert on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, maybe that's what she enjoys, right? We're talking about Robbie's girlfriend who filmed the whole Hall & Oates concert. And then I said, when would she ever watch that? And Robbie said she watched it on the way home. That's so funny to me because has she watched it since, Robbie?
Yeah, that's the same question you asked me last time, and I think she had. I don't think she has.
Then the anniversary every year, she watches it.
Does she still have it? You know how much space that would take up on your phone? A whole concert?
She might not.
She has $1,000 a month in storage fees.
Yes, she's got 9 clouds.
Because she lost her cloud. I think she lost her phone.
That's too bad.
But when I went to see Beck, that's the one thing that I noticed. My son and I, we walked up. The opening act was on there. We were, I don't want to exaggerate, we were probably 30 feet from the stage. I'll show you a picture of how close we were. I took one picture of the whole concert so I could say, hey, look how close I was. That's it, one picture. It took me maybe 10 seconds to do it. There were people around me, and they were filming. The phones were up filming the whole time, and I was the whole time thinking, God, this must suck for them.
Yeah.
The stress of getting here, getting close enough so then you could document it so you can show other people what a good time you had. You didn't have a good time.
Yeah, when I was at the Caps game in the box, I took, you know, a couple pictures just to see the view.
Right, here's where I am. Right. Half
and then when they won
ice.
And people were cheering, I pulled out my phone to, like, shoot the video. I was like, no, who cares? Let's just high-five these people and not act like... You know, there's probably going to be 100 videos on YouTube of them scoring the winning goal because someone just filmed the
right.
overtime. So I'll just look at that if I want to act like it.
I like to have one picture of what I'm doing, and that's it. But it is weird because we were talking about jokes. We heard Norm MacDonald tells a joke about there how there would be one picture of like your grandfather's father, and it was when they had this big thing of powder that exploded. That's one picture they took in their whole life of some guy frowning, and now you're like, oh, here's 100,000 pictures of my grandfather.
It's no, I had a particularly social media was really bothering me this past week, and then Saturday. You know, I go to the improv. I did two shows in the lounge. And then in between those shows, I went in the main room and I watched the show in there. And there was this guy, this feature. I'd never heard of him, Jason Collings. And he was friggin' hilarious.
It was right? Awesome.
He was so good. And, you know, he was older. He might have been, he's probably, you know, he's in our age range. And I almost saw myself in him as this guy that's just traveling with somebody. And but he was so good and polished and funny. And then I went back in the lounge and I did my sets were good and the people in there were funny and the crowds. And I spent like 6-7 hours not even looking at anything on my phone. And I left in a really great mood.
Yeah.
And it's just it. You know how they'll speak about like heroin or crack the first time you're chasing that high? I feel like that's what social media has become. It used to be this, oh my God, we're connecting and communicating and all this stuff.
Yeah, I just talked to somebody from high school that I haven't heard from in 20 years. Now you know everything about that person.
Right. And people are different on social media. Nobody talks the way they talk in person. Nobody, it's ball busting. It's over the top opinions because you have to stand out. It's things for likes. It's not, people don't talk and communicate that way in the real world. And you get trapped up in this social media and you start to think that's what the world is like. And then you go outside and you realize it isn't.
Well, I love not being on Facebook. I love it.
Oh, you're doing such the right thing. All this stuff is only really good for sharing, for posting about shows.
To try to get people to come to your shows. Yes. And I think, I don't know, I have the Rob and Joe Show page that I don't even know how to get on. Right? Next thing you know, I look and the NRA, we're thumbs upping the NRA or whatever. But I mean, other than that, I have my Twitter and I tweet about, I don't know, once a week and I try to be as funny as I can and then I never tweet again. Every once in a while, I'll be watching like an award show and you'll get like 6 or 7 from me. But that's really my whole entree or whatever into social media.
I mean, Twitter's bad. Instagram is mainly just pictures. So it's.
But now I know it's a ruse.
Yeah.
Now I know these people who are out on the beach with, you know, with drinks with umbrellas in them. It's all horseshit.
Yeah.
Right. You'll get somebody at that drag show, which I had a blast at. And now I know that there's literally somebody there that didn't have a good time. That is showing pictures of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you right now, I don't believe I've ever put up a picture of something I was having where I didn't enjoy myself unless I was shitting on it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, it does make you wonder though, these people that are posting these photos, is that the photo says 1,000 words, but they're all lies. Probably.
Yeah, they're not real.
Like now the big thing, this whole Michelle Wolf at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, that's the Twitter and Facebook, like every other post is about that. And it's just, it's a complete, like, she hit the lottery. That's what she wanted to do. Like comedy has become niche in a way. I mean, she's known from The Daily Show. And now, but I saw her at the Improv like a month ago. She's super funny. She's
hilarious.
Sure,
she's hilarious. Yeah.
But everything that she... the best thing that could have happened to her is that the people on the far right get really mad at her because that makes people on the far left offend her. She just tripled her asking price. She literally hit the lottery. People were going on Facebook trying to defend her. But she hit the lottery. What are you talking about? This is the best thing that could happen to her.
Yeah, I know. Well, what do you think is going to happen to her?
Yeah, come on her side. This is the best thing that could have happened to her.
So it's so funny because I saw people commenting on that. Then I saw the video and I'm like, I'm not going to watch it. I'm sure it was funny. What am I going to, I don't want to spend 5 minutes hearing her shit. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it is, but it's not for me to consume.
It was fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know how that
shit. It wasn't earth shattering, but it was solid.
It's probably who the target was. It's what was so enjoyable. I'm sure there was nothing in there that was wheel reinvention.
Well, the climate has changed. I mean, I'm imagining. If you would go back over time and watch the sets over the years, it's gotten probably more harsh and there's more anger behind it. And it's not like Obama, you know, you're really not that good at basketball. And it's just some silly little joke that means nothing. where now it's just because that's the climate we're in, it's nasty and it's less. Like, people roast people, but ideally you like them on these roasts. You're not actually roasting someone that you hate.
Yeah, and in this case, she's roasting someone she hates.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, there's a big difference.
Right.
And I hear people, I think that happened on one of these roasts where Ann Coulter was shit on and everybody's like, yes. Yeah, well, that's, I mean.
It was not comfortable to watch that.
Just to be mean, which, by the way, Robbie, I'm interested. Interesting that you say that because you like it mean.
I do, but when you're roasting somebody that you actually despise, it's not comfortable to watch.
No, you want it to be some, we take shots at you, but at the end of the day, we love you, respect you. But that doesn't, you're not going to find that in this today's climate.
It's so not at the White House correspondence.
No, not absolutely not.
But
so
Stephen Colbert do it previously? And he was very clever and he was beloved. Nobody gave him a bunch of shit, did they?
No, but this is, I think in the Trump era, it's gone. I mean, it's 10 times what it was.
Well, he doesn't show up at these things. I think Stephen Colbert did it last time, and he wasn't there either.
No, it wasn't Stephen Colbert last time. It was I think it was the Indian comic. Am I wrong?
The guy from The Big Sick?
No, it wasn't him, but maybe I'm wrong.
Was it a friend of Dan Ninen's?
It was Dan Ninen, actually, and he was amazing. Let's take a show. Take a break. We'll come back. Gramps' story, Rob and Joshua. Be right back.
Hello again, it's Gramps back again urging you to join Patreon. Recently, my son Joe revealed that an engagement ring purchase and a proposal are imminent for him. Rob is feeling more pressure than ever. Can you imagine what it will be like at home for Rob once Katie receives that ring? The scowls and the tension will be unbearable. Don't you want him to finally be able to get that ring and propose to? Hasn't that poor woman suffered long enough? Well, you can help. Become a Rob and Joe subscriber on Patreon. Not only will you receive all the great bonus shows and premium content that's causing such a buzz, but you'll also be giving to a good cause, Robin Tawanda's future. How else is he going to afford that ring? He can't even win that $25 prize at Comedy Kumite. And in case you were worried that I might stop hitting on Tawanda, you need not. Nothing can stop me. Engaged, married, those things never get in my way.
I never sucked hard enough.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Well done. So, Gramps sends me this doozy. I went into McDonald's on Franklin Street to grab a sandwich. That sounds dangerous already, right?
Sandwich. Anyway, whatever. who goes to McDonald's says they're getting a sandwich? Come on out.
My favorite sandwich.
I got a
show.
Chicken sandwich. Yeah, yeah. A Reuben.
You get the BLT there at McDonald's? I recognized the girl behind the counter, but couldn't remember who she was. When I got up to the counter, I said, did you get even cuter since I saw you last? She didn't smile and said no. As I ate my sandwich, I struggled to remember who she was without success. After I left and was driving, it suddenly occurred to me. I have a customer who leaves the money for me, and I've only seen that face two or three times. It's a male transsexual.
Well, then why would... See, I don't know. And is that the right term? You got to be careful. I'm not sure if that's the right term, but...
That term's outmoded.
First of all, she probably was cuter. She now looks more like what Gramps is attracted to.
Well, she's working at McDonald's. How much money does she have to get to do all these things that are probably necessary?
If she's a female now, or at least representing herself as a female, that's what Gramps is attracted to. So he doesn't need to be... He's fine. She does look cuter than... By the way, why wouldn't have this person responded to that? He didn't like my dad. That's probably it.
Or maybe she was saying, I did not get cuter. Maybe she was feeling particularly unattractive that day.
Well, wouldn't that be something that make you feel good? Or did he like, I'm not going to bang this guy.
You know, I went to, before the Hey Phrase show, I went to the, what's the bagel place? Einstein Bagel? Mm-hmm. And I go up to buy some coffee, and the girl behind the counter says, hey, you look really nice today. And I was like, it made me feel really good. It was just, I mean, it wasn't like, I don't think she was necessarily hitting on me. She was just, it was pleasant. We had a nice little exchange. I hadn't said anything to her. So do more of that, people.
Well, let me say this. So the opposite happened to me. So James and I are standing at the concert, right? Mm-hmm. And there were two girls standing in front of us, and one girl had on like these real hipster glasses, right? Yeah. And this other girl walks by and goes, oh, my God, I love your glasses. I said, oh, thanks. They're new, right? And, of course, she goes, no, I was talking to her. I was like, no shit. I know you're talking to her. So, like, you didn't need to correct it. You could have just laughed, but instead, you know, wanted to make sure that I knew that my glasses didn't look good at all.
Big big show coming up this week, Friday night, May 4th at AMP, Back to the 80s. You're going to have myself, Joe, Robbie, Justin, Eric, Tommy, and we're using our great singer, Al Rogers, in The Smooth Criminal. She's going to be playing Jeannie Buehler.
We're using her in Smooth Criminal, but she's going to be in this show, Back to the 80s, as Jeannie Buehler.
Exactly. Got it. Okay. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. And I have invited Charlie Burney, our buddy, who's one of the guys behind the podcast Village.
I'm excited. I haven't seen Charlie since Drafts and Laughs. That's where I met my girlfriend, Katie.
And Charlie, he brought that up, and he actually met her. Like, you met Tawanda before I did. He met Katie before you did.
God, thank God he didn't take her away.
I know, right?
Hey, well, real quick before we get too far off this Gramps story, and I got to be careful because I know Gramps. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a Gramps story. It's the best Gramps story that exists. But
oh, really?
It has to be told. It can't be told on the regular show. It has to be told on the bonus show. So I will say that if you are not a Patreon, please, for the love of God, listen, at least buy this one episode. So you can hear this
yes,
Gramps story.
It's worth
I've told it to you. How do you feel?
It's worth the price of admission.
Is it? Do you think there's a better Gramps story than that one?
I think it's a new kind of a Gramps story. It's not the same story told again, repackaged. It has the essence of Gramps, but it goes on a different direction that makes it an all-time classic Gramps story.
Yeah,
let me just say this. It's hilarious and also cringeworthy.
Yes.
And I told my girlfriend the story over the weekend, and all through the weekend, she would just spontaneously start laughing thinking about it.
Okay.
It's sort of if Gramps was on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, but I don't want to talk about it anymore because Gramps is going to pressure me to find out what the story is. Maybe he's not aware of this. So, sorry, Gramps. But luckily, it'll be behind the paywall, Gramps, so it's not for a couple thousand people. It's only going to be for the handful of people that pay for the privilege of hearing these great stories.
So, May 4th, that's this Back to the 80s. May 20th, Smooth Criminal, Magoobie's Joke House. And in between that, it's one of our all-time great guests coming back on the show, Mike Chamberlain, May 14th.
Yeah, it's funny. I've seen more movies recently than I've ever seen in my entire life. I just saw Infinity War, which I believe is my 17th movie since Christmas. So I'm on a
roll.
Yes, I'm on a serious roll. But of course, you know, Mike Chamberlain probably hasn't seen any of these movies. I'd love to talk about them, but I wonder if he's even seen one of the movies. How about this? Mike Chamberlain, right now, I've seen 16 movies. I'll see a few more before he comes on.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
So how many of the movies that I've seen has Mike Chamberlain seen?
Is Shape of Water, are we going back, or is that
this? I saw All the Money in the World on Christmas Day, and that's where we're starting.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Probably zero.
No, don't see that movie, Robbie.
I have to because I'm watching the FX show right now.
Well, just watch that. That looks way better. But anyway, okay, we're getting off track. Where's the line? 1.5? Is that where the betting line is?
A half is the betting line, I think.
Probably walked out and discussed.
No, I think you had it right. 1.5.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the over.
Okay. Well, all right. That's a good fair bet, and that's going to be May 14th. We're also recording the bonus show that week, so get your money in time to see that.
Can I tell a real quick story about Katie almost getting my ass kicked again?
Well, sure, but I have a little Chamberlain thing.
Okay, I was going to do a movie thing.
So you mentioned last week you saw I Feel Pretty with our buddy Rory Scovel.
Yeah, I liked it.
You liked it, and then Marcus Serta saw it, and he texted the group, and he said that, you know, it was fine, whatever. So, but this is just an example of Robbie just taking just shots for no reason. So he says it was no blame the victim.
That's actually not a bad joke.
No, but this is what we know. The Blame the Victim is the screenplay that myself, Mike Payne, Andy Klein, and Chad Heff wrote 15 years ago. This is all we know about it. We know that I'm one of the co-writers,
right?
And that Robbie thinks that I'm funny because I'm on the show
yes.
that he produces.
for six years.
Right? He knows that Mike Payne is one of the writers who is J.L. Covan's like go-to guest, and Robbie loves J.L. And he loves Andy Klein.
Loves Andy Klein, right? Yeah.
And one of his best friends in the world, Mike Chamberlain, read this and liked it.
Yes.
So you add all that up, and it's a punchline.
Yeah. No, it's still, look, I do think Robbie, like, I don't want to get too much into this, but Robbie does not know when the joke becomes personal, right? Well, like, the headshot joke has gone way too far, and now he's literally trying to find ways to continue to shit on you even though it's over. So at some point, you say, well, wait a minute. Does he mean this? It's not stopping, and he's trying to infiltrate these other things to do. So, but that joke, that's not a good example, because that's actually a pretty funny joke, even though I hear what you're saying.
Right.
But that worked. But the regulars
is a funny punchline.
Yes, you're right. He blew it. He should have put the regulars.
Right. So, Katie.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I went to see Infinity War on Saturday, and there's a trailer for a movie called Uncle Drew. Are you guys familiar with this?
That's the basketball movie, right?
Kyrie Irving used to do a commercial. I don't know if it was for McDonald's or Sprite or whatever, but he came out. It might be Nike. I think it was Nike. He came out as Uncle Drew. He's just dressed up like an old guy, and he's really awesome at basketball because it's really Kyrie Irving, one of the best players in the NBA, dressed up like an old guy. Okay. They've now decided to make a movie out of it.
Of course.
And the movie stars, you know, Shaq, who's he's now a karate instructor. He's not Shaq, somebody else.
Right.
Chris Webber, he's a minister. You know, and it's like, it looks like the worst piece of shit I've ever seen, right? But of course, I'm always careful when I watch trailers for movies that are obviously appeal to a certain demographic. I don't blatantly just make fun of them, because people, you know how the world works now. If you don't like a movie, you're racist. So I don't say anything. So at the end of the trailer, Katie goes, yes, I can't wait. Like, literally yells out in the theater, shitting on this movie.
Sarcastically saying, yes, I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait to see it. And I go, hey, what are you doing, right? And it's so funny, because our friends, Tommy Simbazo and Eric Woodworth, went with a bunch of people to Infinity War. They got into a fight.
Yes.
They got into a fist fight. So this is not something.
I believe Eric had to punch a 16-year-old in the chest.
Yeah. So we'll tell that story in a second, but I'll tell it as briefly as I can. But when I'm letting her know, I'm putting her on notice. And that this isn't just something that could happen. It's stuff that happens. You can't antagonize people. Listen, if people are talking during the movie, I'm not even going to shush them. I'm not. I've already told you I saw 16 movies, so I'm not going to get into some altercation.
Right.
Even in the theater that I go to basically once a week, I'm not going to do it, right? But I'm letting her know. It's so funny. The other day, Katie accidentally pulled out in front of somebody when we were leaving Walmart, and they honked at her, and she's like, oh my God, blah, blah. I'm like, she literally honks at people. Every time she gets in the car, she's honking at somebody. So I'm just letting her know that eventually she is going to get my ass beat.
Yep.
And then there's really no I told you so. But
and at your age, that could lead to death.
No, right. I can't get beat up, you know? Right. If somebody decides to... By the way, I also see the way on YouTube, the way fights work now, they'll kick you in the head, they curb stop you.
Right. Head, yeah.
Yes, it's not the same. And I'm not sure if she knows this because she's in love with me, but I can't fight.
Yeah. Does she think it's like Scott Apple thought that he could beat up people in high school?
Well, you're right. It's the opposite. She thinks, it's right? The anti-Scott. Yeah. I know I can't. She thinks that I can't.
Right. So Tommy and then Eric and this guy Brock Snyder that we know were seeing Infinity War, and Brock hushed these guys behind him by saying, shut the fuck up, bitch.
That's correct, but apparently it wasn't the guys. The guys, they were so young, they were there with their mom.
Oh, boy.
And the mom was the one that she was shushing, and he called her a bitch.
Oh, that's not good.
So fast forward, apparently the kid who heard it goes, you're going to catch these hands after the movie. Which is kind of a cool thing to say.
That is pretty badass.
That's kind
hands.
Of a cool thing to say. The other thing is that if I was going to fight somebody in the theater, I couldn't sit there and enjoy a movie.
Right.
This guy's such a badass. This kid, he watches the whole movie. And then it's like, all right, now's the time. Yeah. And he goes down there. Apparently,
here's your after the credits scene, bitch.
Apparently, he punches Brock in the face twice.
Good job.
But Eric then jumps in, and I guess he punches this kid in the chest or whatever. He said, look, I let him get hit in the face twice. He deserved it. And then and then he got involved, and I guess he got all broken up at that point. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's – you can't – Look.
Eric knows fairness. He's been in his share of fights.
Yes, he knew. All right, this is justified. But I'm just
and he punched the kid in the chest.
Right. Again. He could have punched him in the face. Right. He punched him in the chest. Yeah, yeah.
Good for you, Eric. You're a hero in that story.
But my point is, and again, I want to reiterate, let's be more careful about Joe and his safety.
I agree, right. 100%. We were talking before the show. Katie had went out to get some vodka, and we were talking about our favorite vodkas. And Robbie is making the claim that he can tell the difference between your various, from Smirnoff to Absolut to Kettle One to Grey Goose.
To Tito's. Yeah.
He can, you name it, he can say which is which.
Those four I can.
Okay, give me the four that you're confident you could get 4 out of 4.
Smirnoff, Absolut, Grey Goose, and Tito's.
Okay, so just non-flavor, just regular.
Yeah, we're talking about straight up vodka.
Well, how can we, because I'd like to challenge you, but we'd have to do that, we're in separate, I have to do it here and... Yeah, we have to buy a lot of vodka to do this.
What if I buy like $200 worth of vodka?
Yeah, is it really worth this? So.
Yeah, I mean, people. Hold on. Marcus just hit Bar Hill. Here he comes. Snob in chat. Marcus just put Bar Hill as the best vodka.
Never heard of it. Was that some Vermont thing?
Yeah, it probably costs $1,000 a bottle. Anyway, no, I'd be willing. I mean, I'd be willing. I just like to prove Robbie wrong. I think that's funny. So I'm willing to certainly pitch in a third to buy these vodkas and make sure that he knows he really can't tell the difference.
We can buy some mini bottles. Or,
you know, I like to do that because one time I mentioned that Vince Gill was in the Pure Prairie League and he waited 3 months to correct me. So I'm more than happy to have him taste these vodkas.
Let's set that up. Now, I'm not that confident, to be honest. You're much more confident than I am.
Well, yeah, but you're not. Robbie is saying it literally, no pun intended, as an absolute. Oh, no, yes. No problem.
Yes.
Much like he acts like he knows The Bachelor in it. Meanwhile, we know he's cheating.
You want to tell your boxing story? Is there a story you can tell there?
Yeah, I mean, the best story to tell is Redskins play-by-play Larry Michaels, who you believe is the worst play-by-play man in America.
He's so bad. Now, he just does the radio play-by-play, and you guys know how radio works. You can't see what's happening, so you have to be as specific and as close to accurate as you can, as accurate as you can in terms of down and distance, how many yards a play went for, and it's not that he's wrong sometimes. I think he's almost always wrong. Like
it's a catch. Oh, wait a minute. The ball's out
of
bounds.
It's pass interference. This is a exact word for word true story. This is years ago. They're playing the Vikings. I'm driving home from something, listening to the radio. It's a Thursday night game. It's Adrian Peterson, who's a running back for the Vikings. Adrian Peterson up the middle, gets hit at the line of scrimmage, driven back 2 yards. That's on first down. We all know football, it's first and 10. So hit at the line of scrimmage, driven back 2 yards. Fast forward to next play, second and 8. So that makes no sense. The line of scrimmage is 0 yards. You go back to it. The least it's second and 10 or second and 12. Then it's second and 8. So I hate Larry Michael because of that very reason.
Yeah. Now, Larry Michael was sitting at my table.
And what is this event, by the way?
It's the Maryland Boxing Hall of Fame. My former landlord, Dave, who I love, was accepting an award for a boxing promoter friend of his who had died this year.
Okay. Has anyone had a more – this is a pretty – this is my life is interesting week for you. You went to Beck, you did morning radio in Baltimore, you went to a drag show, and this boxing Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and no performances, which is the irony. Yeah. You figure one would be thrown in there. Yep, that's what ended up happening to me this week. But anyway, at my table, and by the way, there's 1,000 people here. It's mobbed with people. And it's $75 a ticket.
No drag queens?
No, not that I could see. So Larry Michael is sitting at my table. There's only 10 seats. It's Larry Michael. There's a former writer from USA Today, John Saraceno.
I've heard of him.
He's at my table. He's sitting right next to me. And then me, Katie, Dave, his girlfriend, and a guy I went to high school with. That's who's there. And Larry Michael's sitting there. And I go, you know what? I'm going to tell Larry Michael that I'm on. Oh, you do radio for the Redskins? Oh, I'm on the Baltimore Ravens broadcast team. That's all right.
Right.
See if he asked me, and nothing. He didn't care. So I didn't say one fucking word to him all night. As soon as I heard he didn't care about me, I didn't ask him one question. Meanwhile, he might be doing a little bit better than me.
Oh, I'm sure that he is. Now, did you want to like talk shop with him?
I did.
Talk about the Redskins.
I thought it'd be funnier to see if I tell him that I'm a peer, how he would react.
Yes.
And he wasn't interested at all in me.
He had no interest in going back and forth.
By the way, meanwhile, just so you'll know, He wasn't talking. Nobody at the table was talking to him.
What did he? Did he present anybody with an award?
When he knew, so this guy Scott Wagner, who passed, he was a promoter for Baltimore Boxing. The color guy, the play by play guy, and the color guy was Larry Michael, and maybe it was just John Saraceno. Maybe that's who it was. I don't know.
Right.
But those are the, that's Larry was actually affiliated with the broadcast portion of ballroom boxing. So he knew this guy who passed as well. And when they all went up, the people went up to accept the award for him. My friend Dave did most of the talking, but Larry Michael was up there the whole time. So it was only like four or five people, and one of them was Dave and one of them was Larry Michael. But again,
look at you, Joe, hanging out with all the big wigs.
Well, I don't know that I was, because I only said one sentence to him.
Now you should have talked about what should you think, Robbie? Joe should have dropped some more nuggets to try to get Larry Michael talking.
That Tommy Morrison story.
That's a great story.
Yeah. I did tell that Tommy Morrison story. Now I didn't tell it to Larry Michael.
Why don't you tell it how you told it, so I don't have to retell it? This story has been retold not by me but by people hundreds of times.
I believe Mike it became Payne, a joke on
yeah,
his.
Yeah, it's the thing that bonded Mike Payne and J.L. Covan together.
Now I don't know that I'm going to be able to. It's your story. I'm going to tell it as best as I can recollect. Okay. But the story is this: Rob is at a bar, and by the way, Rob is they're talking to girls, a group of girls, and Rob is a comic with a group of comics, so they're probably doing well. They're probably very funny. I believe it was a bar next to the Improv. Am I right about that?
Next to Wiseacres and McLean.
Next to Wiseacres. Sorry, next to Wiseacres. So they're talking to these girls. Next thing you know, in walks a very, I guess, good-looking, blonde-haired man. Am I right about that?
Well, he was standing at the bar, and when one of the women went to the bar to get drinks, that they saw him, and they invited him back.
They brought him
table.
Back, correct. So the next thing you know, this guy comes back, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Rob Mayer," and this guy goes, "Hi, I'm Tommy Morrison." Now, Tommy Morrison, the nephew of John Wayne, but he was also the heavyweight champion of the world, who was eventually...
Did he ever win? I thought he was like the Great White Hope.
Because I remember he beat George Foreman. Now, I don't know, maybe he wasn't a heavyweight, but he was a very, very highly ranked contender. Either way, he introduces himself...
And star of Rocky Five.
And star of Rocky Five. Well, he introduces himself as Tommy Morrison, and Rob says...
Well, Andy Klein says... Andy Klein whispers to me that he thinks it's Tommy Morrison. And then when he says that, I said, "Tommy Morrison has AIDS."
Now, meanwhile, it is Tommy Morrison.
Yes.
But not just is it Tommy Morrison. So you wouldn't want to say something like that to anybody that could threaten you in any way physically. And this isn't just a regular guy. This is a guy who could probably beat up everybody in that room.
Yes.
And Rob has already pissed him off by explaining that he has AIDS.
And Tommy Morrison said, "I don't have AIDS. I'm only HIV positive."
Correct. And then after he says that, the girls are pissed off at Rob.
Yes.
How dare you say
so
that this guy
to
has... How dare you say he has AIDS when he only has HIV?
Exactly. And then I would try to tell it as a joke on stage. It would never work. Mike Payne then started telling it as this joke on stage, and would destroy for him.
Because you looked like the villain probably when you...
Yes, exactly. My point was that this guy is trying to have sex with these women with the worst thing you can... do. The worst disease you can have when you have sex with someone is this, yet I'm the asshole. So
you in that case, you say trying to have sex, we don't really know what his end game was. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I'm assuming it was.
Well, look, this
but we do know that you, by the way, you really are the hero in this story, because if they don't know, then they're at risk. And they don't understand.
Yeah, that point was always lost on the audience.
How dare you cock-block that guy with AIDS?
I know. Yeah, exactly. So, you see, we all get this. Like, Andy Klein, and this he understands the tone of this, and Mike Payne, you know, from that horrible script, Blame the Victim. there we go, Blame the Victim. It should have been about that. It should have been about the Tommy Morrison story.
You blamed Rob, who was the victim. Actually, the victim would have inevitably been whatever girl he fucked.
Yeah, well, inevitably it was probably him. God rest your soul. Anyway, good show this week. Thank you guys for listening. Get up on that Patreon to hear this fabulous Gramps story coming.
Oh, and also come and see us May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
You got that right.
See us May 4th at Amp, and then also see us May 20th at Magoobies. If you haven't seen Back to the 80s, that's what we're doing on May 4th at Amp in Bethesda, and then May 20th at, I guess, our home club, Magoobies. Mm-hmm. We are debuting there, Smooth Criminal, the Michael Jackson murder mystery.
See you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.